welcome to all of those who may be watching our service online, and a special welcome to online mothers. Everyone is welcome. And so today is Mother's Day, and I'm sure that you're all aware of that by now. Mother's Day has an interesting history. A lady named Anna Jarvis, probably not a name you hear around the kitchen table all that often, but she spearheaded efforts to have a day for mothers recognized in the U.S. And she was successful with it being declared an official holiday around 1914, just as the First World War was in vogue. It was to be observed annually on the second Sunday in May, and it became recognized in Canada within a year or so later. Despite Jarvis's opposition to the commercialization of the day, it quickly became a major occasion for retailers, florists, and restaurants. And you'll find that out today if you're taking your mom out. At some point in time, it became known as a Hallmark holiday, just because the increase that it gave to Mother's Day card sales. And you know, we could terminate the history lesson at this point, but there is an interesting rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say. How many remember Paul Harvey? Yeah, some. Although Jarvis, who started Mother's Day, was successful in founding the celebration, she became increasingly resentful of the commercialization. She believed that companies had misinterpreted and exploited the idea of Mother's Day, and the emphasis the holiday should be on sentiment, not on profit. And as a result, Anna, the founder of Mother's Day, organized boycotts of Mother's Day, threatened to issue lawsuits against the companies involved in the commercialization. Jarvis argued that people should appreciate and honor their mothers through handwritten letters expressing their love and gratitude instead of buying gifts and pre-made cards. Jarvis protested at a candy makers convention in Philadelphia in 1923 and at a meeting of American War Mothers in 1925. By this time, carnations had become associated with Mother's Day, and the selling of carnations by the American War Mothers to raise money angered Jarvis, who was eventually arrested for disturbing the peace. Anna, unfortunately, became so consumed with her battle that a number of her friends arranged for her to be admitted into an asylum in 1944, and she died 4 years later at the age of 84 with no money nor children. A sad story to a wonderful beginning. And unfortunately, it seems that something seemingly peaceful like the celebration of Mother's Day can become seriously contentious. Well, for our scripture today, we'll be looking at two verses from the first chapter of Paul's letter to the Philippians. And he writes there, "For to me, living means living for Christ, and dying is even better." And then he says, "But if I live, I can do more fruitful work for Christ." Lord, as we reflect on your word today, may your Holy Spirit be here with us. May your Holy Spirit amplify your word. May your Spirit cause it to come alive in our hearts and minds. Thank you, Lord. We bless your holy name. Amen. So this first sentence is really powerful and really challenging, isn't it? He says, "For to me, living, my life, everything about me and my life means living for the Lord." And you know, our Lord's call for that degree of allegiance is directed to us all. Genuine discipleship with Jesus has some strict requirements. In Luke chapter 14, verses 25 to 27, we read this. A large crowd was following Jesus. He turned around and said to them, If you want to be my disciple, disciple simply means follower of Jesus, you must, by comparison, hate everyone else, your father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters. Yes, even your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. And if you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. So for those of us who aspire to be disciples, to be genuine followers of Jesus, our allegiance to Jesus must actually come first in our lives. Now, having said that, all of us have other responsibilities, including family obligations, but these must be subservient to our relationship with our Lord and Savior and His plans for our lives. And of course, that applies to you moms as well. When I was a child, a mother working outside the home was pretty well an exception to the rule. Now mothers working outside the home to help support the family financially is almost the norm. And we now have in our society many single mom families where mom not only has to look after her important motherly responsibilities, but also has to be the main breadwinner in the home. So given the changing roles in our society, as we think about moms today, we should include grandmothers and we should include great-grandmothers. Because in today's society, many grandmothers and great-mothers are called on to assist with some of the motherly responsibilities. We see that so often and so sadly in our indigenous communities and in locations like Haiti, where moms are missing, lost to HIV, lost to crime, lost to murder, and so on and so forth. And grandmothers and great-grandmothers in those environments have to pick up a lot of additional motherhood responsibilities. But as we look at the scriptures further, we see that Paul says that if he is given more days to live, it will provide him with the opportunity to accomplish more, he calls it fruitful work. Fruitful work. Now, I think that probably the vast majority of mothers, and we could include grandmothers and great-grandmothers in that too, I would think that the vast majority of mothers here today would be thinking that the last thing they would want to hear from Paul is an exhortation to do more work. So with that in mind then, let's try to understand what Paul was implying by the phrase fruitful work. Let's look a little more closely at our text from Philippians chapter 1, verse 11. And he writes there to his readers at Philippi, may you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ. For this will bring much glory and praise to God. The production of righteous character in your life by Jesus Christ. So we see here Paul's prayer for his readers, that they would be filled with the fruit of their salvation. The righteous character produced by living their lives is something that will bring glory and praise to our Lord and God. What would be more impactful in our troubled world than for more moms to be filled with righteous character and to be passing on that righteous character to their children? We live in a troubled world. I'm sure you heard the headlines this weekend of the young man who's been arrested. I think he's 17, who killed three women at Brockville, I think it was. But you know, unfortunately, in our culture, there are many who would disparage the role of moms and the work they perform. The not too subtle insinuation is that the day-to-day work of mothers is not nearly as important as the roles of those women who have pursued what many would call a professional career. And such attitudes are unfortunately part of our contemporary culture. But I would argue that the role that mothers play potentially has a more significant positive influence on the development of the next generation than any other role in our society. Let's pursue that line of thinking just a little further. More specifically, let's consider the potential impact of a mother whose life is wrapped up in and influenced and led by her relationship with the Lord. When she as a mom has come to know and experience the love of Christ and His encouragement for her as a believer, her natural motherly instincts are powerfully augmented by a degree of love for her children and for others that is truly supernatural. Do you ever think about how this motherly instinct is conveyed from generation to generation in mother after mother after mother? You know, we often see it manifested even in the animal kingdom. A number of years ago, I was cutting some grass on a little island that's part of Chesley Lake Camp. And unknown to me, there was a mother goose nesting in the edge of the water. And as I got closer with the lawnmower, she, motherly instincts kicked in. And she came right after me. And it's tough to escape when you're on an island with a lawnmower. Motherly instinct. And then, within a few seconds, as she was yelling at me, I heard the voice of her partner coming from the far end of the lake, the fatherly instinct kicking in. How does that get passed from one generation to another? The motherly instinct that God has designed is a supernatural thing. It's a blessed thing. We should rejoice in it and be thankful for it. But the mom who has put Christ first in her life, and the mom who is living for the Lord, who has developed that righteous character from her relationship with the Lord, adds that to her natural motherly instincts, and she does become a major impact in the lives around us. It does produce fruit in terms of righteous character. Now, a moment or two ago, we said that in our current society, moms have secular jobs in addition to motherly duties. And many of those jobs are in settings where a mother with righteous, loving character can have enormous influence on those who she serves and on those who serve around her. Let's consider a couple of examples. How about the mom who is working as a nurse in a hospital or as a PSW? A mom who has that motherly instinct, a mom who is serving the Lord and has received that righteous character as part of her relationship with the Lord. Connie and I spend a fair amount of time in hospitals and in nursing homes. And it's not infrequent that we will hear comments about how wonderful a particular nurse or a particular PSW is in that environment where she is working. God working through the mom who has that righteous character. So it's a huge impact. And we've all heard testimonies of people who have been on the end of that life-shaping ministry, and we heard Jim sharing a few minutes ago. Think about the moms who are teachers. I suspect there are many folks in the audience today who have been recipients of ministry provided by a God-fearing mom who was, happened to be, a teacher. A teacher with righteous character. I was fortunate to attend a one-room school for 8 years and kindergarten with the same teacher who every morning opened class, reading the Bible, saying the Lord's Prayer, and every lunch at noon. We had lunch after we said grace, right? Wow. A little too honest at times, in my opinion. Recess was 15 minutes, and in my 8.5 years, I never remembered it being 16 minutes. But that's the kind of impact that she had on her students. So if you're an area mom working outside the home, every day is a gift. And as Paul said, every day is what? An opportunity. And if God gives you more of them, each gift of a new day gives you a new opportunity to do more fruitful work for Christ. Let's think about the motherly job of mothers in the home. Companies often have mission statements issued with the intention of focusing employees on their goals. You know, a great mission statement for moms and grandmothers and great-grandmothers would simply be to say that my mission is to influence the development of Christ-like, loving, righteous character in my children. And when we look at all of the problems in our world today, what could be a more meaningful vision statement? Where does righteous character come from? What are the influences that shape your character and the influences that shaped and have shaped my character? I think that there are probably three main influences of our character. First, we are created in the image of God. We have a design built-in knowledge of right and wrong, just like the inherited ability for motherly care and concern. And we could call this influence an influence that we might just define as our character. We know basically what's right and wrong. We know what it is to do good and to be helpful. And secondly, we have the influence of people around us in our lives. And I would submit that the closer the relationship, the stronger the influence. We can all point to people who influenced our character. How many of you would remember things that your mom or dad said that helped shape who you were? Some of them are, you know, perhaps trivial in the moment, but it was interesting here on Friday night as people shared thoughts about their moms, and some of them have lost their moms many years ago. They could still remember things that their mother said that has stuck with them. I remember many things that were said by my parents that stuck with me. I like to tease Kristen with one that my dad said on a regular day as we'd be heading off to a farm sale. He would always say, "Now, son, mind the horses. Be careful around the horses." And I have developed from that a lifelong fear and respect for horses. I don't go near horses. Mom said on various occasions when I was heading off to those farm sales, you've probably heard this from your parents too, if you can't say anything good about something, don't say anything at all, right? I lost my mom, my biological mom, when I was in my teenage years, but already by that time, she was established in my mind as a woman of faith was someone who loved her Lord and cared for her Lord, and she was also a fairly well-known speaker in various women's organizations. So if that is true, we remember all of that things, then the third ingredient in the development of righteous character are righteous character people around us who teach us, coach us, commend us, and discipline us. And thirdly, for those of us who have accepted Jesus as our Savior and Lord, His character, His Word, His teachings, and the Holy Spirit influence the development of our character. So moms, when the naysayers belittle the importance of your role, remember you have a critical role to play in the development of your children and grandchildren's righteous character. The role is not trivial. It's not unimportant. All three of these aspects work collectively together to build and retain that righteous character that Paul was alluding to. So keep up the good work, moms. Use every new day. Use it as a gift from God, and use it as an opportunity to influence the development of righteous character in the next generation. It is fruitful work. And remember this too, that your affirmation as a valuable worker does not come from the naysayers, from those that belittle the nature and value of your work. Your affirmation comes from above. The one who called you and the one who shapes your character as you live and work for Him so that you can influence others is none other than the King of Glory and the Lord and Savior of your life. Your affirmation comes only from Him. Colossians 3:23 says this, "Work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than other people." Remember, the Lord is your affirmation. He will give you an inheritance as your reward, so that the master you are serving is Christ. A lady named Monica was a mother who mothered a man who became one of our most influential church fathers. You've probably heard the name Augustine. Augustine shaped not only many of the doctrines central to the Christian faith, but his clear thinking and theology forged the church of the next millennium. Augustine was not always a follower of Christ. As a young adult, he rejected his mother's faith with disdain. Unwed, he lived with a woman, fathered a child, and pursued a life of hedonism. Monica's early hopes for her son to live a life of status and privilege, but they evolved into a drive to see her son saved. At 31, Augustine was in the midst of a noteworthy career in philosophy, education and rhetoric when skepticism gave way under the Bishop of Milan's influence and the power of his mother's prayers as he surrendered to the Lord Jesus. Augustine was fully aware that his mother's prayers were instrumental in his conversion. In his autobiography entitled Confessions, Augustine said, "My mother placed great hope in God, and she was greater in labor to ensure my salvation than she had been at my birth." He praises his mom's persistent prayers on his behalf throughout all his works. After her death, he grieved that she was now great gone from my sight, who for years had wept over me, that I might live in God's sight. Hudson Taylor, another person that you probably are familiar with, he was a great missionary to China whose obedience led thousands to Christ. While Christians may know him just as that, a great missionary, Hudson was once a scoffer, a rebellious one. But then God used his mother's prayer to pull Hudson out of his rebellion. Amelia, Hudson's mother, traveled 50 miles from their home in Barnsley, England, to visit her sister. It was during this time that she resolved to lock herself in her room for hours and to plead to God that he would save Hudson. Her compulsion to pray for her son grew to such a degree that she decided that she would not leave the room until she was assured that God would answer her prayer. Her heart soon turned from pleading to praise when she found herself worshiping and thanking God that he had opened Hudson's eyes to salvation. Back at home, while this was going on, Hudson was bored. He meandered around the house, landing himself in his father's library, where he began pulling books off the shelves. He landed on a gospel tract entitled Poor Richard and read the words, "The finished work of Christ." It was that day that Hudson understood that Christ's work on the cross was sufficient for his salvation. And he fell to his knees in repentance, praising God for his salvation, while his mother was in her room miles away, doing the very same thing. As Hudson set off to depart England for China, he wrote this about his goodbyes to his mother. "As we passed through the gates and the separation really commenced, never shall I forget the cry of anguish wrung from that mother's heart. It went through me like a knife. I never knew so fully until then what God so loved the world meant. And I am quite sure my precious mother learned more of the love of God for the perishing in that 1 hour than in all of her life before." I'd like all the mothers, grandmothers, great-grandmothers to just stand now as we pray over you, if you would do that. For those who remain seated, would you just, if you're comfortable with this, just extend a hand to them as we pray over them and for them. Lord, today we give you thanks for that motherhood instinct that does pass from generation to generation. We thank you for each mother in this room, Lord, that has added to that a powerful relationship that she has with you, the lover of each of our souls. We thank you, Lord, that the mothers in this room have combined those aspects in their life to first of all become righteous characters themselves, and secondly, to be those who are anxious for each new day and each new opportunity that they have to influence those around them to develop righteous character. We thank you for mothers in our past who are instrumental in doing that in our lives. And now, Lord, I would bless these mothers in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I would ask that you would cause your face to shine upon them. Lord, that your strength would give them strength in their lives. That your blessing would encourage them to bless others. That your peace would be their peace. That their satisfaction would be in knowing that they serve the King of Kings and Lord of Glory. May you honor them, Lord. May you keep them in your care. We bless them in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you.